Well, we're in a message series, a church-wide series called Believe, which is all about thinking, acting, being more like Christ. And today's theme is on eternity. And so the title of this message is Missions in Light of Eternity. And here's our key idea today. Let me put it up on the screen. Our key idea is this. I believe there is a heaven and a hell, and that Jesus will return to judge all people and to establish his eternal kingdom. Now, I believe that. Our church leaders here, we believe that. And the reality, listen, the reality of eternity is the impetus behind missions. The reality of eternity is the motivation for all mission work. I saw something on PBS that said that 107 billion people have been born on earth. So from beginning of time to now, about 107 billion people. And right now, there are a little over 6 billion people here. So do the math, about 93.5% of all people who've ever been born are now dead. They are now in eternity. Now, the reality of eternity is not meant to be foreboding or discouraging. Actually, it's meant to be freeing, enlightening. This is key information. You are on a journey to eternity. Every person you know is on a journey to eternity. And we need the gospel of Jesus Christ. On the day of judgment, some will be given over to a destination of everlasting joy. Heaven is the promise of God to his people. A great, eternal, global village with everything to do. Fulfilling joy, reunions, no more tears. And then in a completely different scene, others will be given over to a destination of eternal separation from God. The Bible calls it eternal punishment, eternal despair. And so, everybody, this is serious business. This is not a game here. Church work's not playing a game. This is as real as it gets when we talk about the destiny of human beings. And God has ordained churches all over the world to be a beacon, an information center to get the word out about salvation in Jesus Christ. And he's saying to this church and every church, come on, come on, gang, you can do this. Live and serve and shine and give and send and go. Make a difference for Jesus Christ. Well, let's talk about that today. You know, and this First Colony Church of Christ has been around for 32 years. In that time, we've established 23 different churches, including our Foster Creek campus. And today, we're going to talk about what we will be doing to plant, strengthen, and nurture churches and nurture souls in our five primary global mission points. Grant, why don't you highlight those five mission points and give us a quick overview, please?
Yeah, so right here behind us, we've got our flags. So if you go over here, we've got Haiti, Colombia, of course, United States, Uganda. This is Colombia. That one's Honduras. And the last one there is Nepal. And so, you know, our mission, ministry, vision, kind of in short, we want to have a holistic approach when we go there. So we're going to go in, we're going to take care of the physical needs and the spiritual needs. And when we do that, what we see time and time again is when we take care of the physical needs of the people there, it opens up so many doors to take care of the spiritual needs. And as we do that, really from day one, as we go into a location, sustainability is key. So we want to be thinking, how do we empower the indigenous leadership there, the churches, and create something that is going to outlast us long after we leave that area? So again, we'll hear some great stories today of how we've done that with taking care of physical needs and then how that opens up doors for the spiritual.
So there are a couple of new mission points on the horizon, Colombia. Mm-hmm. Nepal. Why Nepal? Talk to us about that.
Right now, Nepal is one of the fastest growing places for Christianity. God is working over there and doing some amazing works, and so we're simply joining him in his mission and what he's already doing. And It's a small country. It's located right in between China and India. And specifically, we've targeted Biratnagar, Nepal, which is down in the southeast. And Nepal is a Hindu country, so it's 80-85% Hindu, and only about 1% Christian. And so that is one of the key reasons why we were there, and why are we wanting to go make a difference. And Nepal is a beautiful country, beautiful people, but there's certainly a lot of spiritual warfare going on over there. And one of the places where Satan really has a stronghold is when in the human trafficking industry. And so that is one of the places where we want to go as a church and be able to make a difference. And these are really horrific stories that that these girls are walking into. But as we join them in this fight, what's going to be amazing is how we're able to go in as a church and make a difference with some of our just spiritual giants that are on the ground there that are doing this. And in Biratnagar, we want to be able to go and say, this is going to be a safe place for these girls. And this is not going to be a place where traffickers are going to be able to go through. And so as we start our work there, we'll start with prevention efforts in the community and awareness. We're going to start by having these people on the border there in Biratnagar, as it's a major crossing center. They're going to be prosecuting these guys, putting them behind bars, and taking those girls, like they talked about, and putting them in safe houses that are surrounded by Christian people, and teaching them Bible stories, and teaching them about this unconditional love of this God that they don't yet know. And again, they're coming out of these horrific situations, but what continues to bring me hope as we go on these journeys is just the restoration and the healing that comes to these girls. And they're provided the gospel, the greatest gift. They're provided job skills and training, and they go back into their communities. And this picture of Drew Dasher and I standing with these three young ladies, they go back into their community who had never heard the name of Jesus, and now there are 70 followers in a church there. And this is one of many stories where this continues to happen, and it is amazing to see how God is using this as a redemptive story and process.
Well, that's fantastic. And Grant, let me just say to you, to everybody who serves on our missions committee here and all the various subcommittees, all of us here, we appreciate the legwork that you do, the significant work that you do, and your planning, your administration, your responsibility. We all really appreciate it. Well, let's move on and talk a little bit about Colombia and the work there.
Yeah, so Colombia is a new mission point for us this year. We're focusing our efforts in Cucuta, Colombia, and we've got a great video that tells a little bit about that story and some of the hardships that are happening right across the border in Venezuela.
That's fantastic. I mean, we praise God for what's going on there in Colombia. Now let's move on to Honduras, and that's a place where through Mission Lazarus, we've had a presence for over 10 years, and now there's a real emphasis, I believe, in the town of San Marcos.
Yeah, we've put all of our focus right there, and kind of three points that we've focused in on. One is supporting Pastor Santos and his work. Two is some latrine outreach projects. And then the third is a Christian school that we've helped fund. And
latrine projects.
Latrine projects, yes. So with that, First Colony, we have decided to throw our money in the toilet this year. And these may not look like Bucky toilets on the outside, but on the inside, they are as clean as advertised. But this has been a tremendous help to providing just sanitary cleanliness to this city. And what's really exciting is our group went down there of high school seniors. They built 16 latrines personally. And afterwards, 2 months later, this just gets me jazzed up, is 2 months later, I hear from Mike Calvert that they're already seeing fewer clients in the local clinic due to less children, mothers being sick. So that increases what kids are going to be able to go and be present in school, people that are going to work. And it is really exciting. And as our folks go and build these latrines, they're sharing the gospel. They're inviting folks to Pastor Santos's church, and we've already seen three families come jump in and get involved, and it's really been exciting. And Pastor Santos, I mean, he is a spiritual giant down there, and the past 3 years, he now oversees 24 churches in that area, and they're seeing over about 100 baptisms a year, and this year is no different. They're at 94 already this year, just phenomenal work. And a big key element of our work is the Christian school down there. And Church, I want you guys to hear this, but this school would not exist if it wasn't for First Colony Church of Christ and the support. And we are giving first-class Christian education. This is the cornerstone church of, you know, school of Honduras. I would put my kids down there and feel great about it. And we're serving the least of these there in that community. And next year, we have hopes and dreams of adding more from the community, as well as some more great teachers. So
that's fantastic. Yeah. And what you just said, it's everybody's sacrifice, dollars and cents, and we congeal it together. And if you give at all, you play a part in this. And God bless you for that. Thank you for it. Now let's talk about Haiti. We've had a long-time presence in Haiti. In fact, a number of short-term mission trips. Go to Haiti annually. Talk to us about the work there, particularly in Thomaso.
A lot of great trips, one of which this year was Nancy Cornegay and her trip leading a group of teachers and principal training and equipping 10 different schools down there, impacting about 2,500 students. And so for us, with our support, we're able to resource those classrooms, those teachers, and those students with supplies, what they need to succeed. We've been really involved in the Christian Leadership Conference down there for the youth and investing in the future leaders of Haiti. And that's been a big blessing, and we continue to see just great fruit from that. Those kids leave that conference just more in love with Jesus. We see them leaving their ways of voodoo to follow Christ. The past 2 years, we've seen over 44 decide to be baptized, and it's just awesome to see them plug back into their local churches when they get home from those trips. And one other awesome trip this year, Missy Edgman helped lead a team, and this is a picture of Movie Under the Moon, Haitian style. They are showing the Jesus film to folks up in the mountains who are learning the story of Jesus for the first time. So really cool stuff happening in Haiti, a lot of great opportunities. If you're looking for a first-time trip, there's Haiti, Honduras are great places to go for that.
And if you don't know what the Jesus film is, it's been around for several years, and it is truly a film about the life of Jesus. And when people see it for the first time and see the story of Jesus for the first time at the crucifixion, they will weep and moan. And at the resurrection, they will stand and cheer and celebrate. And listen, the story of Jesus, my friends, it never gets old. And it's fresh for you today. And I hope that today, as we think about what God's doing globally in the lives of others, that you will invite Him to do a fresh work in your own heart today. That you, too, will be excited over the grace of God and the work of God that He's doing in your life as well. All right, Grant, let's talk quickly about Uganda. Uganda, we just recently celebrated 20 years there, and a number of churches established. Been a wonderful work. Talk to us and update us on Uganda.
Yeah, so one thing that I would say is really unique about the work this year was just how this church has grown in their giving and their tithing. And Andrew Martin and their family here, I mean, one of the things they've just said is it's just multiplied. And this church, we're seeing the character in their giving continue to grow. And not just Sunday morning tithes, but also on special events like medical needs that have risen, burials and funerals where they all chip in. It's a very communal event for them. But also, this year they have experienced a devastating famine, and the local church there gave a lot of their personal money, tithes, also organized a community effort to give back and take care of literally starving individuals there. And so,
okay, so there you have it, our five primary worldwide mission points in 2018: Haiti, Honduras, Uganda, Colombia, Nepal. Now, Grant, we have a number of short-term mission trips available coming up in 2018. Quickly tell people how they can get info on those.
Yep, a lot of great opportunities next year to go to these locations. Next week in your order of worship, we'll have a handout that lists all of those. But this Sunday, after service, you can go out to Volunteer Central Our mission ministry team leaders will be there, so you can visit with them about some of the stories you heard today or questions you may have, and also hear about some of these trip opportunities for the next couple of weeks. So there's that. But you know, in general about short-term trips, I would just say this is a great time for our church to go get skin in the game. And you know, what we cover here and what's in the handouts, they're bullet points of highlights of these people's lives and what's going on. And these are real people, and these are real situations, and these are real lives, and we are really making a difference. And when you go to these places, you go maybe feeling as an outsider, but they embrace you as a brother and sister in Christ, and you leave with a new family. And it is it changes your perspective on what we're doing across the seas, how you think, how you pray, how you give. It changes your priorities in life. So I would say put this on the bucket list and make sure to go visit one of these places sometime in your life.